is the Go Blue Crew. Welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Derek, how's it going over there in Michigan?
A rainy day.
Same here. And,
you know, it stinks because summer is coming to a close. Love fall. Love college football in the fall. But also that time of year, August, where it's like you gotta enjoy the warm days while you have them. And so when rain gets in the way, it's just, you know, maybe a little bit depressing.
Yeah. Well, Derek, we got to own up to something today. Last week we teased a preview show with predictions, and those are always fun, but time consuming, a little difficult to do in the normal 20 to 30 minutes we try to keep things. And Derek's got some family coming into town, and that's what I'll leave it at to protect your privacy, Derek. But the bottom line the bottom line here is we are pivoting. And we'll do the normal preview prediction thing next week. So still ahead of the season. But, you know, if you were out there just on the edge of your seat waiting for this one, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. Instead.
I'm not sorry at all. Pivoting is part of life.
It's all we ever do, really.
And honestly, I think this speeds up next week's predictions as, you know, we'll kind of getting into some teams specifically that Michigan faces in a little bit here. So it'll be all right. People will live.
Yeah, so on the docket today instead, Jim Harbaugh's reportedly negotiated punishment with the NCAA has apparently fallen through here. A committee within the NCAA rejected it. That was looking like a 4-game suspension. I believe we talked about that a few weeks ago. Now, you know, likely coaching all of this season, though that doesn't look like a certain thing. And then if it plays out the way that it's looking like it will right now, there'll be a full hearing probably sometime next year. And so basically we've gone from no Jim Harbaugh for the first 4 games to probably having Jim Harbaugh the whole season and a more formal disciplinary process for Harbaugh. So what's your thoughts there? And I guess I do have a future question for you, but I'm going to not say too much more. What are your thoughts on the reportedly fallen through negotiated punishment?
I think there's 3 camps. You don't care. You wish that Harbaugh's 4-game punishment would have been it and just get this thing out of the way. Or, you know, you live in the camp where it's pushed away because this is Harbaugh's last season, apparently, in the NCAA, which we've heard for, you know, ever. But I'd say those are the 3 camps. Personally, kind of floating between not caring because it's the NCAA and NCAA is a mess, and just trying to, you know, think through what could happen this season, how special this season could be, I guess. If there's some kind of formal whatever process, it seems cheesy. I mean, that's how I feel about the NCAA. How I feel about college football is, you know, we talked about this recently too. Things are just changing almost too fast to keep up with. And so great that Harbaugh's around. I think Michigan's got potentially a special season this year. But, you know, to have this linger has to bother somebody. It might not be Harbaugh. It might not be the players. Somebody's bothered by this, and somebody's going to be thinking about this and prepping for this and planning for whatever's ahead. But yeah, like you said, it's apparently not happening this fall. So that's fine with me. I'd rather see Harbaugh on the sideline. I think Michigan's a better team, obviously, with him there.
I think I fall into the camp of ignore it, sit in anticipation of a hopefully great season, enjoy that. I think if there's any right answer of what you're supposed to do as, you know, a fan, that's probably it. But you hinted at my question that I was saving here, which is, does Harbaugh just dip? I mean, I know this is something we hear about every offseason, but it's gotten pretty real the last 2 off-seasons. And, I mean, we don't have to know anything about Harbaugh's psyche to understand the logic of who wants to deal with the NCAA as it is right now when the NFL is clearly there? Harbaugh has a very clear interest in returning to that level, despite anything he's said to reporters or to his athletic director. And so I think that's a perfectly reasonable, logical question, and it's worth not just writing it off as, oh, this comes up all the time. Yeah, that's true, but it's very real the last 2 years, and you can see where this might look even more appealing now.
So first thing I thought was, do you figure out a way to delay this? You know, I don't know what Michigan's involvement is, what Harbaugh's involvement is. You know, everything we've heard is he doesn't want to work at the NCAA at all. You know, he's probably about the most stubborn college football coach there is. Maybe minus Nick Saban. I think Nick Saban might be a little bit more stubborn. Part of me is like, okay, this is Michigan's best chance to win a national championship. Even though the last two off seasons were, you know, it felt like Harbaugh was going to the NFL, it's also the last two seasons have been Michigan's most successful in decades. And so I think that, you know, the first thing I thought was, are they somehow able to push this off? Because, you know, they're not going to mess with a good Michigan team, keep Harbaugh on the sideline. Again, not that it would have super mattered in the first four games. And then maybe he accepts a punishment next year. It's 4 games, 5 games, 6 games. You know, likely not to be as good of a team as this year, not to say things can't, you know, continue to go well. But, you know, assuming JJ's gone, the running back duo's gone, a lot of the guys who returned are gone. The other thing is, yeah, is this kind of the final thing for him to just be done with coaching? I really do have a hard time seeing him. I mean, he's going to get an NFL job if he wants one. Though it feels like 2 years in a row, not just anybody's going to hire Jim Harbaugh at this point. Now, you say that 2 years ago, and I think possibly, you know, there was the whole the Vikings thing. And I think that, you know, he had his 1 year of success, you know, turn that to two, turn that to three. I think the interest definitely rises. You know, you have 3 good college football seasons, 3 college football playoff appearances likely. Yeah, I think that you could definitely rise the interest of a lot of GMs and owners. But yeah, you don't feel good when things get delayed until 2024, because if there's anything we know, when the year turns to the next, even after a successful football season, it's nothing but question marks. And so what this is setting up for, no matter what, is probably the craziest offseason we've seen ever under Harbaugh, and that's saying a lot compared to these, you know, if you factor in these last two where you thought he was good as gone. Last three, actually. I mean, you had the pandemic, post-pandemic, post the first time they made the playoff, post the second time they made the playoff. Year four of this nonsense is going to be worse than all the others combined, probably.
Thanks for calling it nonsense. I think that's an appropriate word. We're going to move on here. AP, the first Associated Press college football poll is out. Preseason, obviously. Top, I would say, 4. No surprise. You could maybe bicker over the order, but it's Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama. Then you have LSU. Going down to number 7, you have Penn State. I thought it was interesting. Number 17, TCU, a team a lot of people are expecting to drop off from last season. Then the only other Big Ten team is Wisconsin at 19. So I'm curious, Derek, overall impression of the top 25 right now, and obviously Michigan spot at number 2.
It seems about right. You know, you look at last year's college football playoff, and you could say that Michigan, you know, maybe played the worst. They lost to TCU, Ohio State, and Georgia battled it out, and then Georgia blew the brakes off of TCU. But, you know, the AP polls, not really looking at last year. They're looking at, you know, who returns what. Michigan returns a lot. I think 2 is super fair. I think it's accurate. I think Ohio State 3 and Alabama 4. I think they've nailed it so far, but it is what it is. It's a preseason poll. And we know how laughable polls are. Especially, I guess, the AP, because what, it's not until week eight when the college football playoff rankings come out, and that's honestly all that matters.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, their highest ranking to start the season in a very long time. It's deserved. You know, I'll put it into the same conversation of, you know, what we had. Does Michigan deserve to be the favorite against Ohio State? I think yes, and I think the AP and the many who vote agree.
I saw a fun fact from it was a graphic on Twitter. I believe Jimbo Fisher is the only maybe active coach. I can't remember if it was active or just all coaches, period. But either way, the only coach on this graphic who has coached two teams that started in the preseason top 10 and then did not finish ranked, finished unranked. Texas A&M, Florida State did it as well. So
you think about the last 10, 15 years of those programs outside of, you know, some Florida State success with Jameis Winston, and that makes total sense to me. I mean, I'm not shocked by that.
It was no just very funny.
To Jimbo Fisher, but, you know.
Nobody's got it worse right now in college football, I think, than Texas A&M fans.
Texas A&M fans are going through it, but you know who's going through it more is the boosters who have spent money. And it's really done nothing. Florida State, on the other hand, a lot of hype, per usual, but maybe deservedly so as well. But yeah, I'm good with two. But hey, you that means you're gonna be a top team in the nation. Every single team that you face is looking for that upset. So there's gonna be a lot of hungry teams, and you know, it's no longer the case of, you know, what's there to prove. It's, you know, you're considered a top team in the nation, and now you got to go out and hold that title.
This is Michigan's highest preseason ranking since 1991. That team finished sixth. They lost.
I wasn't even born.
What's that?
I wasn't even born in 1991.
No.
I know you weren't. You weren't even close.
Absolutely not. That team lost twice. Number one, Florida State. Number two, Washington in the Rose Bowl. The thing I keep thinking about with the number two ranking, and you talk about that history, is...
Hold on a second. Did you say number one Florida State?
Yeah, back in 91.
Think about the schedule that was. To be ranked as high as you are and then have to play a non-conference against... And then you look at the non-conference schedule that we'll talk about next week.
That's fun.
It's like, wait, they had to play number one Florida State that year?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the Rose Bowl makes sense, you know, the competition at the end if you're a good team, but yeah, you're not worried about anybody on the
those were the days.
This year.
Yeah. So you see the number two ranking, that's continued pressure, continued expectations. I know it can be a little nerve-wracking. You know, you see the number two next to Michigan's name at this point, and you're like, oh gosh, you know, what if they hit a wall and this thing falls apart and they bust? And I get it. Like, those are pretty natural thoughts. But the only thing that I keep coming back to then is just welcome to successful college football. Like, this is what the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Ohio States and recently the LSUs of the world have been dealing with. And it's just a price to pay if you're going to be like a good big time college football program, which Michigan has been as of late. And so, you know, if you have those thoughts, it's just, this is a small price to pay, I would say.
And it's what we wanted, right?
Totally.
Like, as a fan, maybe there's some fan bases that would rather have the chip on their shoulder and prove everybody wrong, but this is what you've been hoping Harbaugh would have brought years ago. It's here. Again, a lot of question marks surrounding the program outside of the ranking, the future of coaches, the future of players. But this is what we've been looking forward to. It's here. And again, the craziest part that's, you know, the hardest to wrap our heads around is, I mean, it's real. Like it's deserved. And it just seems like, you know, we were so far away from this, but here we are. And I think that, you know, very fairly, Michigan is probably the second best team in the country, and they'll have plenty of chances to prove that.
Last thing here, Derek, before we go, I wanted to talk about the non-rivalry games that we're looking forward to most. And like you said, it's a very boring, non-conference slate. I can't imagine either of us are picking any of those. So the suspected candidates here, that I picked out, at Nebraska, September 30th, at Minnesota, October 7th, at Penn State, November 11th. Now, when I looked at Penn State, first thing that comes to mind is, well, shoot, I mean, I think some people would say that's a rivalry. Now, there's no trophy, and I think most importantly, because of the Big Ten scheduling change happening next season, and you have the protected rivalries have really come into play, that's not a protected rivalry. Michigan's got two of them, Michigan State, Ohio State. And Penn State, I kind of found it funny, has no protected rivalries. So I don't know what that means, but good for them, bad for them, I don't know. But
maybe it'll be Oregon.
Could be, or
maybe it'll be Washington.
It would take some time to develop. But is your most anticipated non-rivalry game in one of those three, Nebraska, Minnesota, Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easy answer, I'll give two. The easy answer is Penn State.
Yeah, that's easy.
Good call, too, on the, that's not protected. And so what is the future of how often Michigan and Penn State play? Not even something that I had thought of. Makes me even more thankful, though, as a fan, that it's not a whiteout game at night.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It is a big noon game. It will still be a big atmosphere.
Raucous environment.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going to – I mean, it's not like their fans don't show up at noon. Maybe not as drunk, not as loud.
I only said raucous environment because that's – I feel like that's a term you hear a lot between, like, September and December. And then no other time of the year.
That's actually facts. So, yeah, I think, Penn State, a game we'll definitely dive into a lot next week. So I'll pick Penn State. But then, to give you a second answer, a team that maybe we won't even spend that much time on, even going through the predictions in the preseason, is Maryland. And not really because I think Maryland's going to be, a team to beat in the Big Ten, but it is your final road game if you're Michigan. It's between a big one at Penn State and a huge one at home against Ohio State. Call it a trap game if you need to identify that type of game every year. You've got Josh Gattis, who's there now. You've got a veteran quarterback, a coach, and Mike Locksley, who's been there, a number of years now. And they've always felt like a team who has the players often enough to compete, but just can never put together a full season. Usually an end of the season Maryland is not a team you're too worried about facing, but I think pinched between two really big games late in the season, you never know, who's on rosters at that point, who's the Donovan Edwards who's banged up and has a cast he's playing in, or the Blake Corum who has to sit out. So I'm going to go with Maryland for this conversation, at least. I think that could be a challenging one mid-November after probably a tough game at Penn State. And as you have your eyes set forward on, can you beat Ohio State for a third year in a row? Is there a college football playoff on the line? I basically think it's like last year's Illinois game, a game that Michigan almost gave up at home. But you're going to play that type of game likely on the road. And I think it's going to be against Maryland this year.
That's a good point. I don't know if I was thinking anything when I didn't include Maryland. But I'm going to say my sneaky answer here is Nebraska. Matt Rhule's first year. I don't think anybody's expecting crazy things from Nebraska, but that's a tough environment to go play in. This is a road game. Late September, that might make it the first conference game of the year. I don't have the schedule in front of me. Do you?
Rutgers are the first conference game, but second one.
Okay.
And I guess, I'm guessing second for Nebraska, but hey, tell you what, new coach again, not at night. We saw, a Cade McNamara team struggle at Nebraska at night. So this is another noon game, luckily for Michigan, but new coach. And let me tell you, if they beat a Deion Sanders Colorado, those fans, if Nebraska happens to be undefeated still late September, 4-0, whatever that would be, oh my goodness, those fans are going to be nutty.
When's that Colorado game?
let me see. I think I just, yep, September 9th. So not week one, but week two.
Okay.
So, you know, they're going to be 2 weeks removed from, you know, having a potential, you know, big time win against Colorado.
Are you going to root for Nebraska in that game?
I might. Yeah, I love Deion Sanders. I really do. Like, I thought he was, you know, growing up, you know, one of the coolest players to watch. But I don't know about this Colorado thing, man. I'm almost rooting against, not rooting against them, but I wouldn't mind seeing a TCU and a Nebraska early. Like, you know, just bring it down to reality a little bit.
TCU is the team I think I'm going to be pulling for. I won't have a dog in the fight in the Nebraska game, but TCU Colorado, I think I'm going to be a TCU fan that day. I think that's just the thing to do.
Little Horned Frogs fan for the day.
It'll be hard, but you know, considering what happened last season, but yeah, I think I can do it. I think that's what makes the most sense to do, because I agree with you.
I think I'll be tuning in to you know, Colorado games in general. It's gonna be like the Lakers for me. I don't love the Lakers, but you know, sometimes when they had Kobe or when they have LeBron, you can't not watch a Lakers game every once in a while.
So. Okay, that's a good point. That's all we got planned for this one, unless Derek, you have any curveballs you want to throw.
Nope, no curveballs.
Going once,
today.
Going twice, no curveballs. We'll get back next
usually
week.
I would.
I know. I was a little surprised. Not disappointed.
I do have a question.
What's that?
Put you on the spot here. I know we were getting close to kind of a milestone. Does it happen to be next week's show?
I believe, off the top of my head, this episode right here is 249.
Okay.
So that would make... If I'm right, that would make next week's 250.
We'll double check that. That makes me even happier that we saved the predictions for.
It was really, yeah, the stars 50. Aligned on that one, and we didn't even realize it. Remember, folks, this is the second longest continuous running Michigan podcast.
Bound to be first at some point.
Bound to be first.
I would imagine.
I was waiting for some kind of reaction from you, but I think bound to be first.
In my head, I was thinking of how to take a shot maybe at other podcasts, but you know, I don't really want to do that. I just was thinking in my head, there's a lot of podcasts that start left and right.
And they fizzle
all the
out.
Time, but
we see it all the time here on the Gold
Blue
Crew.
How many people can say they're, you know, approaching episode 250? Not many.
Yeah, not many. Bound to be first may work as a slogan for this show. Let's let that marinate.
Okay.
And if it works, we can find a way to incorporate it into maybe the intro.
I could incorporate it into my predictions next week, potentially. Bound to be first.
Let's do it. All right. Yeah. Let's play around with it. Bound to be first. I think it will work. I don't want to commit to anything quite yet, but we'll get back next week and do some previews and predictions. And I imagine we'll spend most of our time talking about those non-conference games. But we will get into the Big Ten schedule a little bit. We'll probably touch on Ohio State if we have time. And then we'll just get ready for the season. And, of course, week zero will be here next weekend too. So there's a lot to look forward to. But until we get back here again, take care out there. Go Blue.
Go Blue.